Wednesday, the 25th of August, Tesvov Elul, Rabbi Dani Kirsch, Teshuva, Prevention is Better Than Cure.
We're now in the middle of Elul, and in the process, we hope, of Teshuva, in preparation. I'd like to speak a little bit in terms of our preventative methods, a little bit about Vidui, and to share with you, if I can, an extraordinary event that happened in my life, which was a unique eye-opener to a very special sort of Vidui. One day, I was called by the secretary at my office to come quickly to the front of the building. Somehow, a gentleman in car keys had managed to get through the front door and was making his way up the stairs, 6 foot three, 6 foot four. We have a pretty strong door at the top of the stairs, bulletproof, but nevertheless, I was called quickly. Robin Kirsch, I don't know how he got in, but you've got to come look after this gentleman. So I followed all the careful procedures of security, made sure I had a couple of people backing me up, made my way out of the top door, and stood there to confront this individual coming up the stairs. So as I came to him, he said, "Are you a rabbi?" with a very strong Yorkshire accent. I said, "I am." He said, "I need you to help me." Fine. He says, "I'm going to tell you a story, but I'm not going to tell you my name. And when I've told you the story, I'm going to leave. I'm a mercenary. I'm a soldier who makes his living by traveling around the world fighting in different wars. And along my journey, I meet lots of very interesting people. And I was fighting in a particular battle in a particular country. And I was fighting alongside various soldiers. And unfortunately, one of the soldiers I was next to was shot and mortally wounded. But just as he was passing from this world on to the next, he turned to me and he said, with his very strong accent, 'I'm Jewish, and I want you to do me a favor. When you next go back to England, please find a synagogue and tell them my name and ask somebody to say Kaddish for me.' And so it was, a few days or weeks later, when this mercenary had made his way back to his own country, to England, he came up our stairs and he divulged this extraordinary story in the secret about an Israeli who had told him on his deathbed that he was Jewish. He did vidui of sorts. "I'm Jewish," confessed that he was Jewish. And he said, "Would you find somebody to say Kaddish? Rabbi, I've got off the train in Golders Green. I've walked down Golders Green Road. This is the first sign I can see Jewish on it. Now I know why we built the JLE exactly where we built it." He says, "You're a rabbi. This is a synagogue. What's Kaddish?" So I explained to him, when a person passes from this world, we say Kaddish for them for all sorts of reasons. And then I said to him, "And what is the name of the person who passed away?" He said, "I can't tell you names." I said, "No, you have to tell me something. So tell me his first name." Extraordinary story. And for a year, Rabbi Ziskin said Kaddish for the unknown soldier who passed away in a battlefield. And his dying words were, "I'm Jewish. Please find somebody to say Kaddish for me." And each year, at this time of year, when you start considering vidui, the confessional, you start reminding yourselves of these events in your life when you've heard people make interesting and unusual sorts of viduim in their lives and the ramification of those things. It's extraordinary that the Bali Musa explained to us that so many different signposts in the weeks leading up to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, signposts in the Parsha. And of course, in this week's Sedra, we have the famous concept of a different sort of vidui. As Rashi tells us on the Pasuk, beginning in Pasuk Yud Beis, Rashi tells us what is that special event that takes place, that after a few years, 3 years, you have to go up to Yerushalayim, etc., etc., Erev Pesach, and you have to do vidui maisus. You have to say in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, "Zvadash, I'm going to be Zvadash HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on the fact that I've given Trumas and Maisus Kedasa Kedin." Interestingly enough, the Torah Tamima, on discussing a Gemara which talks about the language that you're allowed to use in Vidui Maestros, whether you can do it in any Loshon HaKodesh and other languages, goes off on a little tangent and introduces us to an extraordinary Abarbanel, which gives us a fascinating insight into Vidui. He quotes the Abarbanel as follows. B'tam ha-vidui maestros b'chlal, the concept and of giving vidui maestros, ki liyos, since sh'maestros heim devarim sh'bamomen, my obligation to give out my trimus and my maestros, my percentage, that's an obligation that I have as the farmer, of the landowner. It's a financial obligation. I've got to make sure that I distribute accordingly. V'ein le'tavim. However, there's nobody's coming to me and say, you have produced X, Y, Z, and therefore you're obligated to give me X, Y, Z. But rather, a person gives out his maestros to the Levium, to the Kohenim, etc., etc. But it's an extraordinary thing because it's self-assessment. I make the decision based on my productivity, what my obligations are, and I choose the Kohenim, the Levium, who I have to give it to, and I do give it to accordingly. But it's self-assessment in financial matters. And since it's self-assessment in financial matters, and there's nobody's been to ver me, says the Abarbanel, I'm likely to make a few mikshanim. People cut corners when it comes to taxation, and find all the different things to put on their expense account. My accountant's here. And therefore, the Torah comes along and says, no. L'chein siva kodesh baruch al avidoi. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded on vidui, mitnei, because kishiyodeh ha'odim b'chol ashana, since a person knows throughout the year shemuchoyev loyma lifnei Hashem b'mikdash, that he's going to have to come up to the Beis HaMikdash and he's going to have to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I've done everything kadasa kadin, and that embarrassment and that pain of the fact that I'm going to have to do that self-assessment will ensure that that vidui will make sure that I actually do fulfill the words that I am supposed to do. Shelo yeh davish shokrim lifnei Hashem, because I can't lie in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore the Abarbanel introduces an extraordinary idea of self-assessments with vidui. Since I'm going to have to stand in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and since this is something that I'm doing on my own bat, and I'm defining and deciding what I have to give, and there's nobody being tover me except for myself, I have to stand in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. I'm going to be very, very careful to make sure that I gave taxes accordingly. Embarrassment in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Interesting enough, a few years ago we had a Hachnasa Sefer Torah, and one of the individuals who now does not live in this area, who's Baruch Hashem become Hashem a Shabbos Yid, very special individual. At the Hachnasa Sefer Torah, a few years ago, the Sasava Rebbe, Zichron Levracha, was there participating, dancing and singing in his very own special way. I remember, as he walked into up the stairs, he wanted to make sure he left his stick outside. He walked into the Beis Medrash, and as an 80-plus man, danced and sang with such a excitement with the Sefer Torah. At the end of the dancing, this friend of mine, who's become a Shemesh Shabbos, went up to the Sasa Rebbe, introduced himself to him, and said, I used to be your next-door neighbour. I used to live there in Helensley Avenue. I'm not going to say exactly what number, but I used to live there in Helensley Avenue. And I used to see the Rebbe as he used to come to shul. This individual told me that as he was getting out of his house and thinking of getting to his car on Shabbos morning, and the Sasa of a Rebbe walked by, he was so embarrassed and uncomfortable about the fact the Sasa of a Rebbe was there. At least while the Rebbe was there, he would behave himself. And unfortunately, the reality of human being is that we need to be a little bit embarrassed, and we need to be a little bit ashamed of the actions that we're doing. And to know that I would have to go and stand in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and give that vidui and make sure I'm telling the truth, says the Abarbanel, would obligate me to make sure I was in fact telling the truth. And it's interesting because with that we can see a fascinating insight into a well-known concept that Bilam HaRasha, when he was attempting to curse the Jewish people, famous story with Osun and how he wasn't able to get to where he was supposed to get to, he wanted to get to. He turned to the Osun and he says, Ma'asi solocha, what have I done to you that you've hit me zeh shalosh regolim? And of course, Rashi draws to our attention the famous Chazal, what is it I've done to these Shalosh Regolim? Remes loy atem avakesh la'oka oisa, you are trying to uproot this people who are going Shalosh Regolim Lashana three times a year to Yerushalayim. And the question is, what is it exactly that Chazal are telling us? That the one thing which is going to stop Bilam going on his journey is he's going to curse a people who go three times a year to Yerushalayim. I saw a beautiful vault in Parshas Re'eh, again the Musa of this time of year. Shalosh pa'omim b'shana yeroeh kol zuchucha es pe'ashem l'kecho. The obligation to go Shalosh Regolim three times a year to Yerushalayim. Yeroeh kol zuchucha. And of course there's a Kriya and a Kesiv on this word yeroeh. Does it mean that you will be seen, or does it mean you will see? What exactly? How do you understand this word, you will be seen or you will be seen? The Oznaim Torah speaks about the fact that because you know you're going to be seen, you're going to behave in a completely different way in Yerushalayim. The fact that you know you're going to go three times in Yerushalayim and you're going to be looked at will obligate you to self-reflection and self-assessment. As a result of that, Yerushalayim will bring about teshuva. Shalosh Regolim, Bilam cannot touch a people who are constantly reflecting and doing the self-assessment and who they are and what they are. They can't touch such a people. Shalosh Regolim, three times a year, you're going to reflect on who you are. The Balei Musa also say, V'lo yeres p'nei Hashem reikon, make sure that you don't stand in front of Kodesh Baruch Hu empty. You're going to go through self-assessment. So one concept of this time of year, and one concept of vidui, is the concept that I have to be embarrassed to know that I'm going to be standing in front of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. But there is another idea which was pointed out to me at a chasna this week by Rabbi Sammy Goldberg when I went to a beautiful chasna in Manchester. And he's pointed out a very interesting and beautiful sifonu to me. The sifonu, looking at different aspects of vidui, shares with us an extraordinary idea. The Yid has to say when they come to Yerushalayim, Be'arti HaKadosh Min Abayis. I've removed all the holy things from my house, I've done everything Kadasa Kadin, I've followed all the rules and regulations, and I've done what I'm supposed to do. Says the Sipanu, Be'arti HaKadosh Min Abayis, but you know, it really shouldn't have been the way that it is. The fact that there are Kohanim and the fact that there are Leviim outside of my home is only as a result of the Averas that we've done. As the Sifonu puts it, because of our Averas and because of the Averas of our fathers, as a result of that, Be'ata HaKodesh Min Abayis, I've taken out the sanctity which originally was in my home. What I mean by that? That before the Chet HaEgel, before the sin of the golden calf, the Kohanim and the Leviim, in terms of the firstborn, were living in my own house. I had Kedusha in my house. I had sanctity in my house. And yes, I'd have the obligation to give the Trumas and Maisras, but where would I be giving it to? I give it within my own house to my own people, to my own firstborn. As a result of the Chatoyim that I've done, as a result of the sins of our forefathers and those that continue to this very day, unfortunately I have to do the second best, which is give it to the Kohanim and the Leviim. But Be'ata HaKodesh Min Abayis, my Averas took out the Kedusha from my home. Extraordinary insight, if you understand in just a few words the words of Zipona. That originally, I should have been receiving it and getting it myself. But because of the Averas that I've done, because of the Averas of Klal Yisrael, history of change. My family lost their opportunity for that closeness with HaKodesh Baruch Hu as a result of the Chet HaEgel, as a result of the sins that we've done. What an extraordinary insight into another aspect of vidui. Vidui is not only about the embarrassment of knowing that I'm standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the honesty of me being able and obligated to go through every single avera that I've done, and those of my forefathers, and realize the ramifications of that to me. What greater thing for us to be doing at this time of year? Shavis Hashem Lenegdi Tomei, to realize I'm standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So a beautiful vort, Chochem Eino Barosh. A wise man has eyes in his head. Chochem Eino Barosh, a wise man has his eyes on Rosh Hashanah. He realizes that very soon he's going to be standing in front of Kodesh Baruch Hu, and everything about him is going to be looked at seen. And Elul is a time for us to have that introspection and that embarrassment of all that we've done, and that realization that everything is noticed and everything is seen, and our honesty in being the Sfada in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and pointing out all of the mistakes that we've made. And on that we see a very interesting comparison which is made in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos between Avram Avinu and Bilam HaRasha. It's a well-known Mishnah. Kol mi sheyesh bo shlosha devarim halalu hu mitamid dor shel Avram Avinu, hu shlosha devarim achayim hu mitamid dor shel Bilam HaRasha. In Perek Hamishi, Mishnah 22, the Mishnah tells us about the qualities and the difference between Avram Avinu and Bilam HaRasha. Tamido shel Avram Avinu, ayin teiva, people of Avram Avinu has got a good eye. The Tamidim shel Bilam HaRasha, the opposite, has got an ayin hara, ayin ra, a bad eye. So I once had a beautiful idea from Rabbi Lev. What's the difference between an Avram Avinu and Bilam HaRasha when it comes to the tefillahs? Avram Avinu, davens for Sodom, davens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should save Sodom, tries every different possibility to daven to the Eivishter, offers every different solution, but apparently he fails and the cities are destroyed. The Torah then tells us that immediately after he goes back to the same place, and he davens again from where we learn the obligation to regularly find a place to daven. Masha'in came, what's interesting with Bilam, he tried cursing the Jewish people, his own special tefillahs, goes to one place, doesn't work, so he tries another place, that one doesn't work, so he tries another place, that one doesn't work. Says Rabbi Lef, you know the difference between the Ayin Tova of Avram Avinu and the Ayin Ra of Bilam? And Avram Avinu says to himself, I tried, I wasn't successful. Now why wasn't I successful? Because I wasn't successful. The problem's with me. Hashem Bilam, when he goes to one place, he tries, he says, I've got a geographical issue over here. There's a problem with the place that I'm at. So you know what, I have to go to another shul, I have to try another place. If I try enough different places, eventually I'm going to get through. Avram Avinu is a person who realizes and understands that my connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is dependent on only one thing, and that is dependent on me. And during this month of Elul, during this month where we have to introspect and prepare ourselves, then the preventative method is to ensure and realize and recognize that it's only as a result of me. Ani the daidi. But it always starts with ani. And it's a little embarrassing when one's sitting in such an august group and possibly giving over a little bit of musa. But it's wonderful to be able to come to the Torah way, because then you have force to prepare some musa as well. So please don't take this personally. It's me having a conversation with myself. Immediately before the vidui that we do in Yom Kippur, and I always explain to my Talmidim, you have to prepare. You've got to prepare. Interestingly enough, when it comes to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur davening, there's so many unique and special tefillahs, which as a result of the fact that we don't say them from year to year, we actually forget. Suddenly we hear the chazan in the background, we hear the tune, will wake us up a little bit. However, the Bali Musa tell us that this is the time of the year we should actually concentrate and start learning up the tefillahs, to think about what we're going to say, to think about in front of whom we're going to say it, and also to think about the juxtaposition of the tefillahs as we found them in davening. Interesting enough, what precedes immediately the Al-Chait? The Al-Chait, when we bash our hearts and we say to ourselves, it was you who caused this problem in the first place. We have a famous tefillah. Ata yadea HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know the hidden things in the world. You know the every aspect of the world, and only you know everything that in reality is going on. Only you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ata choy feith kol chadre voten uvorchen kolayos volev. We say, before we do the vidui, we honestly stand in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you and only you know that is what is going on in the innermost parts of the human being. Only you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, can test the thoughts and the feelings of a person. Nothing is hidden from you, nothing is hidden from your eyes. And then we begin the Al-Chait, with that realization that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you see absolutely everything. Interestingly enough, there was a little fracas on Purim outside the bus stop just by Yarden. And within a few minutes, police cars were outside of Yarden.
the
conversation, a little shop up the road. And after I had a conversation with one of the policemen, and he said, "No, it's interesting. We saw everything on the screens. Apparently, there are cameras, CCTV, up and down Golders Green Road, and everything is being watched." Of course, it may be crime preventative, but we see it as a Musa lesson for this time of year. And every time you go past a speed camera, you just say, "Thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for the Musa," realizing that as I'm preparing myself for Yom Kippur, that I know you're Boichen Kaleh. So if you see right inside of my car, and I recognize and understand that this is really just a mashal for me to notice that I'm being watched constantly. And we also have to realize that if I contravene, I have to do tshuva to pay my fines. And if I contravene too often, I lose my license. And therefore, it's all a moshul. It's all a moshul for us to understand and appreciate that we've got to realize everything is totally dependent on me, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes right into the essence of who I am. Interestingly enough, when you start looking into Perash HaTefillah, you start looking into the different understanding of Tefillah, you'll see that the Pesukim which are used throughout Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur Davening, of course, come from Pesukim, Tanakh. And one of the Pesukim that I just quoted you starts with the following words, Ne'er Hashem Nishmas Odom, a famous Pesuk, which everybody knows well, Yahrzeit, Ne'er Hashem Nishmas Odom. A person's soul is the lamp of Hashem. That's how the Pasuk begins. The Pasuk continues in Mishlei Perek Chaf Aleph, Pasuk Chaf Ches, with the following, Pasuk Chaf Zayin, with the following words. Ne'er Hashem Nishmas Odom, Chayfes Kol Chadrei Botan. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu searches out the thoughts and emotions of every individual. What's the connection between the first part of the Pasuk and the second part of the Pasuk? So the Malbim in Mishle says the following thing. His lamp, by which he can read the innermost secrets of man, is the soul of man himself. What is it? What light does HaKadosh Baruch Hu use to read the innermost feelings of a person? That's our neshama. The neshama of the person which tells the truth, which is absolute clarity, that is the light which HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses to examine everything about it. And that neshama, which is illuminating the whole nature of a person, reveals every last detail of the individual. And then the Malbim goes on to quote and says that a person may think, when he sins unseen, who will testify against me? Says the Malbim, but your own neshama is going to testify against you. Your own Ne'er Hashem Nishmas Odom, a person's soul, is the lamp of Hashem, which is the very lamp that Hashem is going to use to look inside of each one of us. There's no hiding. And the more we realize, and the more we recognize, and the more we appreciate that there's no hiding, the more we'll be better prepared for this time of year.
Could you point again this Mishlei?
If I share with you where you can find it, and then in the comfort of your own home, yes, you'll do just that. It is in Chof Chosain. Chof Chosain. Thank you. I began by sharing with you stories of vidui and this concept of a realization that I have an embarrassment, I have to tell over it, get absolute clarity. I'm standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the embarrassment factor will hopefully affect me. The realization that when I recognize and realize that Be'at HaKadosh Min Abayis, that I'm bringing out something, but in reality it should be a different story entirely. It's worth us reflecting a little while on a couple of stories and incidences that I've had the opportunity to participate in, which, like the first story, shook me up a little bit, and maybe we'll share it with you now. A few years ago, I received a call. An older man had been diagnosed, completely secular Jew, who had absolutely no connection whatsoever with Yiddishkeit, being diagnosed with a particular illness, and he felt that he wanted to start reconnecting with his Yiddishkeit. Came to see me, and the machla has already spread. He said to me, you know, I've been so disconnected throughout my life with my Yiddishkeit, I don't quite know where to start. But I'd like to go to shul on Friday night. But I know what to do, what happens, can you help me? So we started explaining the davening of Friday night, what it means, the process, connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And every week, in between the chemotherapy and his hospital visits, we would learn together. He said, you know, I'd like to start putting on tefillin. And it was an extraordinary and probably one of the most honest experiences I've ever had with a person who, knowing that his life is coming to an end and perhaps reflecting on the fact that he's misused much of his life, is going on a journey of trying to reconnect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you know, when you're having conversations with people like that at this time of their lives, it's all about honesty. It's not about fluff or externality. It's all about absolute honesty. Because things are very clear. Very clear. His family, his priorities, what really is important to him. Unfortunately, as he became sicker, our visits became less and less. And when he was coming towards the end of his life, and he was brought home, the family asked me if I would be able to come and see him again. So I went to his home, and this time we were lying together on a bed in his front room, surrounded by his children, and we were talking, and we were learning together. And it's the most extraordinary experience to see the family around him as well, and to hear the lessons of the fact that very soon you're going to have to say something to the King of Kings and explain your actions and your life throughout your existence, why you did what you did, how you used the opportunities and the gifts that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you. In the middle of a conversation, there was a knock on the door, and a nurse arrived, and the time had come to look after him, give him certain medication, change some bandages, etc., etc. And I will never forget the last words that he said to me. He was holding his hand, and he looked at me and he said, "I'm sorry. I'm sorry." I left, and a few days later he passed away. And I always considered, what did he mean when he said, "I'm sorry"? What do you mean, "I've said I'm sorry"? I like to believe that he said, "I'm sorry that I didn't meet earlier." I like to believe that when he said, I'm sorry to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I like to believe when he said, "I'm sorry, I'm embarrassed at the way that I've lived my life. The fact that I'm soon going to be meeting the Borei Olam, I'm sorry." A couple of years ago, I was zocher to take some Talmidim to Yerushalayim. And we decided to go and visit the Meir Rosh Yeshiva, Reb Nosson Tzvi Finkel. We wanted to go and ask some questions. Made an appointment, made the opportunity to go and see him. Rebbetzin was very kind to us. And we went into the room. Rosh Yeshiva was seated there, surrounded by Sfarim. We sit opposite him, and the people around me have got some questions to ask. One of the young men asks a question, and the Rosh Yeshiva, you can see, is so desperate to answer the question. But because Nebuch of his own difficult health situation should have a refuah shleima, Poshet unable to answer the boy's question. And all he could say was, "I'm sorry." The Rosh Yeshiva. Desperate to answer the question, and all he could say was, "I'm sorry." And that vidoy, which is saying, "My body wants to answer you, my mind wants to answer you, but I can't," is a reminder to us of the extraordinary mysterious nefesh of an individual who realizes there's so much still to do, there's so many questions still to answer, there's so much I need to achieve, but I can't, and I'm sorry. The fact that we need to do vidoy reminds us and makes us realize we're going to be embarrassed in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so now is the time to look at the Kodesh inside of our own lives, inside of our own hearts, and ensure that we take these weeks to do truth. Yeah. Oh, yeah.